Welcome to the latest edition of the Horns 24/7 podcast with me, David Eckert, and my colleagues, Eric Henry and Chip Brown. We're going to be talking the latest on Trevor Goosby's knee injury, as well as everything else you need to know out of Texas fall camp. Keep it with us and log into horns247.com and use the discount code HORNS60 to get 60% off an annual subscription.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE,
and I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Everybody, welcome into the horns247.com podcast. We appreciate you watching on YouTube and listening wherever you get your podcasts. For fans of this pod, we got a special treat. Use the promo code HORNS60. HORNS60 on the bottom of your screen to get 60% off an annual membership to horns247.com, where you can get the latest recruiting rankings, transfer portal updates, excuse me, and wall-to-wall coverage of Texas athletics. That's right, we got you covered. And I am Chip Brown of horns247.com, joined as always by my esteemed colleagues Eric Henry and David Eckert of horns247.com. And fellas, we are little over a week and a half into training camp, and we open today's show with some concern because last night at practice, left tackle Trevor Goosby, first team all SEC, preseason all American, suffered a non-contact knee injury, according to a source who spoke to Horns 24/7, and he will undergo an MRI on the knee on Tuesday, to determine the severity of the knee injury. We're in a precarious spot right now because we don't have those MRI results. But Eric, Trevor Goosby is a guy who is one of the better development success stories at Texas, a three-star recruit in 2023. He redshirted, and the next time we saw him, he was subbing for Kelvin Banks against Texas A&M and against Georgia in the 2024, late in the 2024 season. Georgia, that was in the SEC championship game. And then last year, he started all 13 games and became a first-team all-SEC player. He is projected as a possible first-round pick in the 2027 NFL draft. This is nervous times for Longhorn Nation, right?
Yeah, Chip, I'm just going to go right to what this means for the Longhorns, right? As you mentioned, we're waiting on the MRI results. We won't know that, or at least Steve Sarkisian and company won't know that until later today. I'm sure we'll find out, you know, through the grapevine, maybe the next time we talk to Steve Sarkisian. Maybe they'll send out one of those polite, you know, Texas injury email updates. That would be nice. They might do that. Shout out to the folks there. No, let's go short-term, long-term, right? Short-term, if this is nothing, then hey, Trevor Goosby probably gets held out of, I'd say, the next, you know, definitely the next scrimmage, right, until it's game week, until it's time to prep. That's the best case scenario for Texas football, is this is just a minor nick. It's nothing. Maybe even, okay, let's say it stretches into Texas State. You sit him Texas State. You get your big left tackle, your All-American left tackle, ready for Ohio State. Now we'll go into what would be a worst case scenario for Texas, right, if Trevor Goosby is to miss an extended period of time. As I mentioned, Chip, you did a great job of laying out Trevor's background and how he kind of arrived entering into 2026 as a, you know, most people look at him as a shoo-in first-round pick in the 2027 NFL draft, a guy who's going to be an All-American candidate, a guy who's, you know, first-team All-SEC left tackle, one of the best left tackles in the nation. I think this is probably what Texas should do. I'm not saying it's what they will do. I think it's what they should do. You probably flip Melvin Ciani, who Steve Sarkisian spent time raving about. I asked him about, you know, guys he kind of gets acclimated, how guys are getting acclimated to him and vice versa on offense. He didn't even go to Cam Coleman and Riley Brown and Hollywood Smothers. He went to Melvin Ciani and raved about him. But you probably flip Ciani to left tackle because he's played left during his career, both at Temple. And I believe spent a little bit of time at left at Wake Forest. I know he started games at left at Temple. You probably go Brandon Baker back out to right tackle. Of course, the spot he started last year. And then who's going to fill that right guard spot? In my mind, you go Cole Hudson, right? I guess the other option is Andre Kodjoe, right? You could go Kodjoe at tackle, leave Brandon Baker, you know, where he is at guard. But I just think those are your two options. And I think Chip and Dave, that can get you through definitely non-conference play. It's going to make Ohio State a lot harder. Don't get me wrong. Like, I'm not saying, oh, you lose Trevor Goosby, you still just go beat Ohio State. But that can get you through non-conference play and maybe even Tennessee. But it's not ideal for Texas to be playing 5, 6, 7, 8 games of the year without Trevor Goosby. Again, this is all speculation. That's kind of my best case scenario. It's a short-term thing. In worst case scenario, how Texas should proceed.
Heck.
Yeah. You know, it's, I guess if you're a Texas fan and you're sitting here and you're talking about the idea of playing magic teacups with your offensive line, trying to find the right combination, that's tough. You know, I mean, that's discouraging. I think considering Eric, you've got a look on your face like you didn't like the magic teacups. I thought that was good.
No, continue. Sorry. It had nothing to do with you. I'm sorry. It had nothing to do with you. Continue.
But no, I think, you know, it at that position where you just could not figure it out for the majority of last year, the idea of with 3 weeks to go until the season, you're switching everything around. You're just trying to find something that works. That's daunting. You know, but I agree with Eric because I think the left tackle position, if you don't have Trevor Goosby available, is, you know, it's the most important spot on that offensive line. So you have to change things around if required to put the best option at that position as possible, in my opinion. So, you know, if you're Texas and this is a long-term thing, this is just a disaster, but we'll see about those MRI results, as Chip reported, that's expected to come down today. But, yeah, just waiting with bated breath if you're a Texas fan on this one.
Yeah, and this comes on the heels of Steve Sarkisian acknowledging that Lawrence Seymour, as we reported in our practice notes on Saturday, Seymour rolled his ankle and was the starting left guard in Saturday's first scrimmage of training camp. Lawrence Seymour, the Western Kentucky sixth-year transfer. Steve Sarkisian called the injury a hiccup and made it seem like it was minor. Seymour played only 11 snaps in the scrimmage on Saturday before suffering the rolled ankle. So, you know, they've been clean with injuries. Steve Sarkisian knocked on wood as he talked about the Seymour situation. And then later that day, Trevor Goosby leaves the field at practice after a non-contact knee injury. And we are now awaiting the MRI results for that one. And Trevor Goosby, one of the key leaders on this team, a guy who you can set your watch by, totally dependable guy who, you know, shows up, gives you everything he's got, cares about his teammates. Of course, his younger brother, Austin, is now a freshman basketball player for the Texas Longhorns, and a feel-good story there with the two Goosbys on the Texas campus together. And so we wait for the MRI results, but it is, you know, we don't like the fact that we're on the air talking about the Trevor Goosby situation without knowing the results of the MRI, because, you know, obviously Texas fans are super, super nervous, but look, it's the reality. Trevor Goosby has an injury. We're waiting the MRI results and we'll go from there. Guys, last Saturday, the first scrimmage of training camp, Steve Sarkisian came out and said that Arch Manning could have been cleaner, could have been more accurate. I talked to a source who said Arch really never got into rhythm. He led the offense down the field on a drive and then gets intercepted by Jonah Williams in the end zone. And I was told that the receiver was open. Arch was late. That allowed Jonah Williams to break on the ball and make the interception. And then his next time out, he gets picked off by Grayson Littleton on a screen pass. And so the next time that Arch Manning comes back out, there was about 30 minutes in between each of those series. And then they had halftime. And then he comes out for the thud tempo and it was not a good day for Arch Manning. Although, and there's some question on whether he definitely threw a touchdown pass to Ryan Wingo. There's some question about whether the pass to Cam Coleman was a touchdown or not, but maybe that was Steve Sarkisian trying to, you know, pump things up a little bit. No matter how you slice it, Eck, it was not a good day for Arch Manning. And of course, this is his first like significant 11 on 11 because he didn't go through it in the spring and it wasn't good. So, you know, time to overreact or not.
Yeah. It's interesting, right? Because this time of year, to me, neutral or negative feedback is more instructive than positive feedback because, you know, right now, when you're talking to people, when you're talking to coaches, players, whatever, all they want to do is pump up their guys, right? And so when Steve Sarkisian is asked Saturday about Arch, and he's kind of like, he's hemming and hawing a little bit. I mean, that sets up a red flag. So, you know, is it the end of the world? Absolutely not. No. We have seen Arch Manning play the quarterback position at a high level. Okay. But, you know, maybe it plants a seed of doubt in the back of your head because we haven't seen him do it for a full season. We haven't seen him go out there and have 12, 13 games that are all good, enough to win you college football games. You know, Arch still has something to prove, right? And I think it's worth remembering that. So am I taking a crappy scrimmage performance and blowing it out of proportion? No. But I do think it's kind of just – it's worth remembering what we're dealing with. Eric, I don't know if you agree with that.
No, you know, I would agree with that. And just super quick, I apologize. My reaction was as I'm moderating the YouTube comments there, we had a couple people take a couple shots at us and Steve Sarkisian. That's fine. You can take shots at us. You'll just be removed from the chat, the producer. And also, I make bald look good, all right? So you can call me an egghead all you want. You know, I can take that. Nevertheless, back on topic here. You know, there's a reason I asked Steve Sarkisian about kind of the acclimation process. I should say I asked him yesterday. We're taping this on August 18th. I asked him yesterday, Monday's press availability, about the acclimation process that not only players have to have with him as a coach offensively, the offensive guys, new additions, but him getting used to them, right? What I mean by that in specificity to Arch is Arch Manning is going to rely on Cam Coleman, Raleigh Brown, Hollywood Smothers, Mike Massinus, like a lot, even Derek Cooper, right? You know, of course, he mentioned Melvin Ciani, Lawrence Seymour. There's an acclimation process, I think. While sure, you can look on film and think, I'm getting this as a player, how do we want to use these guys for the betterment of the offense to keep things in rhythm? And you know, Chip, Eck, I don't know if you guys feel the same way. We talked about it, I think it was Saturday's show, if memory serves me correct. You know, defense is always going to be ahead of offense during camp, right? Especially training camp, you would hope your defense is ahead of the offense. But kind of it's not like the old days. We can go two-a-days and three-a-days, right? So how much time can you really spend kind of building that cohesion, that chemistry that's needed? Because there's a difference, Chip, as I pass it back to you, between you can, you know, go skeleton and do it all on air all you want, right? When you're trying to run actual real-life plays against a real-life defense, there is a timing, a synergy that only comes with repetition. So I don't read as much into, you know, maybe some of the negativity as I think, like, Some people will. I think, oh, it's the end of the world. I just think this is what this time is for. And in today's college football, Chip, and I guess today's football in general, like, you'll see these things stretch into the season, right? And until it kind of gets fixed. And that's not making an excuse for Arch Manning or Steve Sarkisian. I think you'd see this around the country.
Yeah. I mean, there's a huge question mark for Arch Manning to answer about, can he pick up where he left off last season? Did he gain the kind of confidence and experience that he's seen enough defenses now to where it's not going, you know, he's not going to get flustered if he doesn't recognize what he's looking at, which there's always, you know, at the beginning of any game, there's that likelihood, and then your coaches make the adjustments and you move on from there. And look, these scrimmages come between an offense and a defense that have seen each other. There's no game planning. The defense has seen these plays for a week and a half. They can recognize them. They can make plays on them. But still, you want to hear that Arch Manning is in command, is in control, that he's looking off the safety, that he's making, you know, the right reads, and he's safely guiding the offense down the field. If we want to get stupid and nitpicky, the two interceptions he threw in Saturday's scrimmage, it's more than more interceptions than he had the last five games of last season. And again, no game planning, the defense. A lot of times Steve Sarkisian has the defense just blitzing the you know what out of the starting quarterback in that first scrimmage so that they can adjust to it over the next couple or the final 2 weeks of training camp. So it's not something to get panicky about, but I agree with you, Eck. It's good that it happens early in training camp so that this can become a constructive, productive conversation as opposed to, uh-oh, what's going on here with all these new weapons that were just deployed to Austin. You know, the running back room, Cam Coleman, Michael Masunis, as Eric mentioned, you want this thing to hum. And so, you know, there was a 70-yard touchdown pass to Ryan Wingo. So got that going. Any other thoughts on Arch or even the offense, Eric, going into, this next scrimmage number two?
Yeah, I mean, nothing for me. I mean, we kind of covered it right with Trevor. I mean, I guess the only other thing is you probably want to just – and I felt this way even before, you know, today's news, was just wondering what you have behind, you know, some of the frontline guys at offensive line, because we kind of speculated as to whether this could be a deeper unit than it was last year with the addition of Cole Hudson and Dylan Sikorski. Those are interior, right? So I think you want to hear a little bit more about the tackles, but that's just kind of an ancillary thought.
Yeah, and an interesting figure in this is Jordan Coleman, the talented redshirt freshman who got a bunch of reps at left tackle during the spring because Trevor Goosby was out after having shoulder surgery. So, Jordan Coleman, how far has he come? How productive is he in terms of, you know, recognizing what he's seeing, processing, able to help? Because that's the other thing. If you're going to have a new starter at left guard, you'd love to have a veteran at tackle to help guide them through it. And, you know, Jordan Coleman, 6'5", 354 pounds, looks good. We saw him in training camp. He's massive. And, you know, is he ready? And we'll find out. Maybe, you know, not on a need basis, but as I'm sure Trevor Goosby's going to miss at least one or two practices, but we'll see. All right. We're heading into a new segment that we call Stock Up. Texas fans, this is a good news segment. So here we go. Ack, you want to start us off with some Stock Up following the first scrimmage of training camp?
You brought him up when we were talking about Arch there. I'm going to go with Jonah Williams. I thought Obviously, you see the interception. Texas put that out for everybody to go see. Making a play on the ball. Sark on Monday kind of brought in Jonah's baseball background, comparing him to an outfielder, making those ranging plays, reading the ball, which I thought was interesting. But Sark just gushed about him on Monday. He spent probably about a good minute and a half talking about his progress, coming back from that shoulder surgery that he had in March that ended his baseball season prematurely. And he said, you know, look, at the beginning of camp, you could feel the hesitation, right? You could feel that, hey, he's not in a rush to go lower that shoulder and really put an impactful hit on somebody. There's some trepidation. But now, 2 weeks in or whatever we are, I don't even know. 2 weeks? That sounds right.
Yeah.
He's more comfortable. He's playing physical football on top of all of the things that he's capable of doing in coverage, with that range, with that athleticism, with that ability to read the game. Yeah, he had a really good scrimmage. And I just think he's got an opportunity, maybe not to start, but to take a claim to some playing time. And if you're Texas, it's about time for him to start doing that, right? You know, he's a sophomore. He's a former, I think, top 10 overall recruit, definitely a five-star. You want to see him get on the field, and it sounds like to me he's taking the right steps to be able to do that, Chip.
Yeah. Yeah. Eric?
Yeah, you know, I'm going to continue in the same kind of realm as Eck when you talk about a young guy who might not be a starter, but someone who I think is going to provide value for this Texas Longhorn football team. And I think if they can kind of come into their own in year two, that – it could be a real win for the Longhorns. That's Justice Terry. I'm going to stock up there. We've heard a lot of great things about him just from his fellow teammates, about him being, you know, in excellent shape, being how his strength, that, you know, was called a generational talent. I'm forgetting who was a Hero Canoe, I believe. Yeah. A generational talent, right? You know, it kind of – Eck, you're a baseball guy, right? This might be a little bit before your time. I think Chip will remember this one, right? When, you know, Jeff Francoeur of the Braves was called the Natural, right? A Sports Illustrated cover called him the Natural. you hope it's a little better than Jeff Francoeur. It was a nice piece in the major leagues for, you know.
I watched like 3 years of the most mediocre Jeff Francoeur play with the New York Mets, Eric. So you've triggered my PTSD.
I had forgotten that Francoeur made his way to the Mets. So there you go, right? So, you know, I think when Hero says it, you hope there's a little more optimism around that. But listen, you know, as we kind of tie the entire conversation together, we talk about, you know, again, what the situation would be with Trevor Goosby and his injury. And quite frankly, just if Texas has, you know, again, knock on wood, I don't have any wood to knock on, you know, Steve Sarkisian's always knocking on that podium whenever he says this, right? But if there are any other injuries, I think, Chip, the depth at defense, the depth, quite frankly, in the front seven, I think has an opportunity to, it's the type of front seven in my mind that can win a game for you, at least keep you in a game, right? In case you have a unit or an area of a side of the ball, whatever, that's not performing. It's the type of front seven that I think can at least keep you in a game and keep giving you chances. I think Justice Terry, again, maybe not as a starter, but as a rotational piece at defensive tackle, a big edge, et cetera, big end, et cetera, can be that type of guy. So I'm going to stock up Justice Terry.
Yeah, I mean, that you mentioned the defensive front and, you know, on the defensive line, if they get emergence from Justice Terry and Josiah Sharma, a guy they really like and believe in, a guy who's cut weight, I think he's down to, what, he's like in the 330s now from 356. He's a guy who needs to become a rotational player in that nose tackle position along with Ian Gaffrard and Zion Williams, who they brought in from LSU. Muschamp likes having those big, you know, 350 plus space eating two gappers at nose tackle so that his linebackers can run free and make plays. And Justice Terry is going to be that guy who comes in at that three technique position. The four eye, he's explosive and slippery and strong, even though he's only 289. Listen, We've seen guys 290 in the NFL wreak havoc with their ability to get off the ball, become slippery, split double teams. So I think this is going to be a really fun year to watch the development of guys like Justice Terry, Josiah Sharma, those guys inside, and even on the outside, Lance Jackson, Zena Umezulu. We've talked about the need for them to become better run defenders, or they're going to get targeted every game. People are going to run right at that strong side defensive end until they show they can stop the run. Colin Simmons proved he could stop the run in the Florida game. I remember sitting next to Eric saying, God, Simmons is showing up in the run defense today. Even though they ended up losing that game, I thought Colin Simmons was not hunting sacks. He was, you know, playing his responsibility and getting off blocks and making a difference. And that's what they need from that other end position. But yeah, Justice Terry. And we know he played strong side defensive end last year. He can play that. So you want to go big on the outside. Justice Terry can do that too. So I think that's a really good call. And Jonah Williams too, because Jonah, as I've said, Casey Hampton, who I think is the best player I've ever covered outside of Vince Young, at Texas led the team in tackles from the defensive tackle position two seasons in a row, won two Super Bowls with the Steelers, went to Galveston Ball, has watched Jonah Williams, who also went to Galveston Ball, and he told me, Chip, this dude is the truth. So he's like, just wait till you see him play. And hopefully that is this year, because we know, you know, the secondary, they're moving some guys around. Kobe Black in the secondary at safety, who showed up well in scrimmage number one in his first meaningful team action at safety. You know, they've kind of been moving some guys around, and that'll lead me to my stock up, which is Grayson Littleton. Grayson Littleton. We weren't hearing much about Grayson Littleton for the first part of camp, and part of that is because Will Muschamp was exploring Bo Masco in the nickel. Bo Masco has become sort of the corner they trust the most because he's done it. He's, I don't want to say he's a squatty body, but he's strong. He will come downhill in run support. He's a good tackler, and he's good in coverage. And so that nickel position is a huge position in any defense because you do have to cover and you do have to play an active role and run support. But I thought Steve Sarkisian, his comments about Grayson Littleton following scrimmage number one, Littleton had the interception of Arch Manning on the screen pass. And if he got up, he kind of, you know, his knee was close to the ground when he made the play. Was he down? Was he not? Steve Sarkisian said he ran it back 75 yards. But he also had a tackle for loss in this scrimmage. He had a pass breakup and just was physical against the run. And Steve Sarkisian said, I think he reminded us all how good of a football player he really is and may have solidified his role in that star nickel position, because you'd love to have Bo Masco out on the edge. And, you know, along with Cade Phillips, you've got Jelani McDonald at safety. And then it's a battle for that other safety position between Derek Williams, Kobe Black, Jonah Williams. And yeah, the news about Jonah Williams making some plays, Grayson Littleton making some plays. Sounds like the secondary is coming together, or at least it's becoming evident that there's a lot of talent back there. And then it's just a matter of who's lining up with who and who's going to run out there first, as Mac Brown used to say. Don't get hung up on who's a starter. Just means he's running out there first. You know, depending on how he plays, he'll be out there or he won't be out there. Someone else will be coming in. So little stock up. I almost gave stock up to Gianni Spetic.
Ooh.
Gio. Because I've had him in so many question mark columns, yep, that he missed the first field goal attempt, I'm told, from 47 yards. But he hit the next five, including a 49-yarder. So, and I heard that even the one he missed from 47 would have been good from like 60. So he is a strong leg. And Jeff Banks mentioned this, Eric, when we talked to him at, spring coach media days, that he said, I don't know if he'll be as accurate as Mason Shipley, who hit 20 of 24 last year, 83%. But he's got a stronger leg. He can kick him from, 50 plus, and he's actually better from 50 plus than he is from 40 to 49 for some reason. But
I don't understand that at all. I don't get that. I need somebody to explain that to me.
Yeah. And that, I don't know. Eric, you got any thoughts on Gio Spetic going 5 of 6 on field goals, missing from 47?
Yeah, I'm glad he went 5 of 6. That's higher than his career average of 74.8%. And I guess, if I made a face, it's because I guess I didn't catch that quote from Jeff Banks during spring media days. The goal, and I'm not being patronizing when I say this to Jeff, but the goal in general, but the goal is to put it through the uprights. It doesn't matter if you kick it from 80 yards, as long as it goes through those two things. And Jeff knows this, having been a collegiate specialist. So I guess I'd have to hear the context of that line. But there are plenty of guys in the NFL or who made the NFL could kick it from 65 plus. They just couldn't put it through the uprights. So let's hope. I think the hope is that Texas isn't relying on as many field goals as they have had to, maybe not necessarily, I guess, last year and 2 years ago. No, three, a couple years ago with Bert Auburn, right? Not the year he had his struggles, but the year prior when Bert, I think, led the FBS in field goal attempts or field goal makes, one or the other. So ideally, they're not relying on threes as much as they are getting sevens, but when they need threes, the ball just go through the uprights.
Yeah. Let's see. Steve Sarkisian, a couple other comments. He mentioned that before we get to some take it or leave it, he mentioned that Jermaine Bishop Jr., the freshman receiver, had 4 catches in Saturday's scrimmage. 3 were on third down. He, kind of reiterated the 3 receivers firmly in the circle of trust are Ryan Wingo, Cam Coleman, Emmett Mosley. But that Daylon McCutcheon, Kalik Lockett, Sterling Burkhalter, and Bishop are, right maybe on the ring of that circle of trust. And Eric, you wrote about this, about Melvin Ciani, that he thought he was getting a pass protector, but what is he getting?
Said he's getting a tough-ass run blocker, And I think that's certainly something that, whether it's at right tackle or wherever, the fact that Ciani can do both, and I think, for those who don't know, go check out the story, right? Ciani has a unique background. He only played 1 year of collegiate football, Canadian. He grew up playing soccer, basketball, kind of grew into his body. You kind of look at those guys as more athletic finesse guys, but it's nice to hear Steve Sarkisian say, no, this guy, he gets after it, in the run game as well.
Yeah. Melvin Ciani could prove to be a huge pickup for Texas. Couple other quick hitters from Sark. He was asked about the backup quarterback position. He said, I feel very good about KJ Lacy. And from what I hear, Lacy's having a really good camp, had a very good scrimmage on Saturday. No one's talking about it because of the sort of up and down nature of Arch's performance, but KJ Lacy was, he's continues to show he's got the pocket presence to know when to extend a play, to throw it downfield, when to run, is accurate with the football. The quote from Sarkisian was, I feel very good about KJ. He's doing some really good things, but I will say Dia Bell, the 5-star true freshman quarterback, is as far along or maybe even further along than anybody we've had in that role at this time. That's a credit to him. Guy's got an innate feel for the game, natural passer, great leadership qualities, and he's instinctual. So he did things Saturday that were really, really encouraging for us. In talking to sources, KJ Lacy's got this thing wrapped up, and that's what you want to hear. You want to hear that there's a guy, if needed, who can come in and get it done. And KJ's, Sarkisian said in the past, he's got a bit of a bright lights feel to him that when, he gets an opportunity, the bigger the stage, the better he is. We'll see. Or maybe we'll only see in limited action. He played 4 snaps last year. So no matter how you slice it, it's going to be, you know, an adventure, a new experience for KJ Lacy if he gets into the game. All right, guys, you ready for some take it or leave it?
Let's do it.
Okay. Eric, you want to tell us who's serving to who?
Yeah. I will serve this up first to, how about you? I feel like I always go to Eck first. I'm going to go to you, Chip. Take it or leave it, number one, Trevor Goosby's most indispensable player on the 2026 roster.
Ooh. Man, if he's not the, he's certainly close. I'm going to leave this for right now because, you know, we just talked about it. There might be some moves Texas can make, including the possibility, if necessary, we're waiting for the results on Trevor Goosby's non-contact knee injury. I'm going to leave this, though, for the moment. I still think it's Arch because of what he means to this team and his, you know, his ceiling. So I'm going to leave this. Eck, what say you?
Yeah, I'm really tempted to take it because I think Trevor Goosby has a shot to be, you know, he might be the best tackle in college football. And we described the musical chairs that's going to have to take place two weeks before the season starts, 3 weeks before the season starts to compensate for his absence if he can't go. And that's, I mean, it sounds scary. But I do think it's Arch. So I will leave it, but I was very tempted. Eric, what say you?
I will take the bet, guys. I will take it. I'm a big, you know, when it comes to advanced stats, you don't really get this in football much, more of a baseball and basketball statistic, WAR, right? Wins above replacement. I think Trevor Goosby is better at his job, and I think I would say Colin Simmons. Both of them are better at their jobs than whoever the replacement would be. We believe that Arch Manning, listen, I'm not going to rehash the whole Arch Manning debate. I think Arch Manning was a better quarterback last year than he got credit for. But right now, he is not better at his job than Trevor Goosby and Colin Simmons are at their jobs in conjunction with whoever would be replacing them. So I will take it.
Okay. All right. Take it or leave it, number two.
Take it or leave it, number two. Apologies for the pull up there. Texas is more deserving of being the preseason number one this year than they were last year. Chip, take it or leave it.
Well, they're not more deserving this year than they were last year. Well, yeah, they are more deserving this year. Sorry. Last year, everybody was all hyped because Arch was taking over at the quarterback position. So they blindly looked past the fact that Texas had 10 meaningful contributors to the offense who had just walked out the door. And that Arch Manning was doing it with a bunch of guys who were also doing it for the first time. They were not the preseason number one team last year. And this year they are more qualified. I mean, we're waiting on the outcome of Trevor Goosby's knee injury. But they are more qualified to be the preseason number one this year than they were last year. For all the transfers we've mentioned so far in today's show, the attempted upgrades on the offensive line. And so I will take this. Eck?
Yeah, I'm going to take it too. I'm trying not to do this with the benefit of hindsight, but just the number of known commodities on this year's team relative to last year's, I think, is substantially greater. I think, you know, instead of just saying we think Arch Manning is going to be awesome, you can point to five or six position groups that we think are going to be awesome. They might have the best defensive player in college football. They might have the best wide receiver core in college football, though Ohio State might have something to say about that. I just think they're exponentially more complete. So, yeah, I'm definitely taking this one, Eric.
Yeah, Eck, you took the words right out of my mouth, right? I mean, you can just – a fun thought experiment. Just go look at the amount of snaps played by this year's team, projected starters, compared to last year. It's simple in my mind. I take it. It's not even close.
Yeah, Texas, by the way, number five in the AP preseason top 25 that came out Monday after being ranked number four in the coaches poll that came out earlier. All right.
Take it or leave it, number three, you expect Arch Manning to have a dominating performance in the second scrimmage of training camp. Take it or leave it.
Who's batting first?
I guess that'd be Eck, right?
Yeah, sure. I'll leave it because I just don't think that's what happens this time of year. We talked about this on our post scrimmage pod. Good defenses generally do not get run over by good offenses in fall camp. That's usually not how it works. The defenses are ahead. You're not game planning. It just tends not to work out that way. So yeah, and given what we've heard about Arch and how things seem to be going, I think dominance is a stretch. So I'm gonna leave this one. Chip, I'll pass it to you next. What do you think?
Yeah, dominating is, you know, would imply that the Texas defense is of no resistance. But I expect a much better performance from Arch Manning because his competitive nature would indicate that he will bounce back because we've seen him struggle like the Florida game last year and then come back and complete 21 of 28 against Oklahoma in a 23-6 win. So I guess I'll leave it on the dominating, but I expect a much better performance from Arch. And it sounds like Steve Sarkisian's going to let him play a little bit more continuously as opposed to getting one series during the tackling portion and then sitting for the rest of the tackling portion and then coming in for one series before halftime and then not getting to play again for another 30 minutes. So I'll leave it, but it's got to be better. Eric?
Yeah, no one's dominating this Texas defense this year. I don't care if practice or otherwise, right? So I'm going to leave that. But listen, I think, Chip, you took the words out of my mouth there, and I think that Steve was open when he said, hey, it was kind of disjointed. He said he felt bad, right, for Cam and those guys because it was kind of putting them in for a series or so and then taking them out and doing different things. I think if there's more consistency in what they do on offense and more of an opportunity for those guys to get in rhythm, that would be a better performance.
Yeah, I mean – Arch needs to stack. Needs to start stacking those good days. And, you know, sometimes you hear about a quarterback didn't throw an interception in training camp. He needs to finish strong like he did last season. Finish this camp strong so that all of his teammates feel like when they walk on the field with him, oh, we got the guy. We're better than you because we got the guy. And I remember all the players saying that about Vince Young. In 05, like we walked on the field knowing we were better than you because we had the guy. So in a highly competitive college football landscape where, I mean, this might be a good take it or leave it for next week. How many teams can actually contend for the national title this year? Six. You're going to need every edge you can get. All right, everybody. Thanks for listening to this and watching on YouTube and listening wherever you get your podcasts. Again, we've got a special treat for you. Use the promo code HORNS60 on the bottom of your screen to get 60% off an annual membership to horns247.com, where you'll get the latest, all the scoop from training camp, you know, recruiting, transfer portal updates, wall-to-wall coverage of Texas athletics. So thanks. Thanks for tuning in. And, you know, for Eric Henry, for David Eckert, I am Chip Brown. We'll see you over at horns247.com. And please like and subscribe to the Horns 24/7 YouTube channel so you get notifications and never miss an episode of the Horns 24/7 podcast. Stay safe, everybody, and keep the faith.